You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, we'll hear about the Wisconsin sunflowers that are taking social media by storm.
First, after mining company Gogebic Taconite backed out on an iron ore mining project in the Pinoki Hills earlier this year, there's been a lot of talk over the future of mining in northern Wisconsin. Now, the owner of the property that would have housed that mine is speaking out.
Earlier this week, David Adams, president of La Pointe Iron Company, said mining in the Pinokis is inevitable, though a new project could be several years out. He also said that any new project would likely have to be carried out in a different way than GTAC's approach in the past few years.
Here with an update on what's happening on the iron mining front and to discuss the reaction to these comments is Danielle Kading, WPR's reporter in Superior. Danielle, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Well, these comments from David Adams got a lot of attention around the state and the region in particular. What did he have to say in particular about mining in northern Wisconsin?
Well, I haven't been able to speak to David Adams directly, but according to what the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has reported, he's been said to have said that it is inevitable and that basically any new developer is going to have to take a much better approach as far as talking to local communities and working to build relationships there.
Now, what do we know about the potential amount of iron that, if a plan was in place, could be extracted in the Pinoki Hills?
The potential amount of iron? Well, there's a deposit that stretches around 22 miles between Ashland and Iron counties. What actually is economical to mine remains kind of a question because the deposit is sloped at kind of a 60% grade, so that has made it difficult to extract in the past. But GTAC was looking at a four-mile stretch between Ashland and Iron counties, and later on in the project, they had looked to do three or four smaller pits to avoid some of the wetlands there.
Now, you talked to a lot of stakeholders in the region and shared some of what they had to say with us. I want to start with Kelly Klein, Iron County Development Zone Coordinator. Here he is talking to you about the opportunity that exists in that region.
Like I said, I think it makes sense for Iron County to explore developing one of its resources. And I think we can do it in a way that's safe and doesn't ruin the environment, and yet can create some job and income opportunities for our residents.
Now, this last attempt at mining there was controversial, but do you think, from what you've heard, Danny, that Kelly Klein there represents a common school of thought there, that if we can do it right, there is room for an iron mine here?
Well, I think that's a general sentiment in Iron County with some exception. I mean, there's opponents for the project both in Iron County and Ashland County, but Iron County officials have typically been in more favor of it, citing the potential for jobs in the area and the need to diversify their economy with one of the most aging populations in the state and the second highest unemployment rate in the state. For the first time in quite some time, they are typically number one in unemployment. And so they're looking to find any opportunity for jobs that they can. And they see this mineral deposit as something that should be explored. And so what Iron County officials are typically saying is that they would like to see more information, more science gathered about that deposit. And particularly in this instance now that GTAC has gone out, they would like to see whatever information that GTAC collected be shared with the public, particularly the core samples that they have taken from the bulk sampling sites.
And you mentioned that the owner of the land there said, hey, if another company wants to come in and do this, and that they probably will, they'd have to do things differently this time around. So what kind of things would have to happen differently than with GTAC to make this actually happen?
Well, from what I've heard, both from Ashland County and Iron County officials that met with La Pointe Iron Company and Global Minerals Engineering, is that they're basically asking county officials, what did GTAC do wrong? What rubbed you the wrong way? And for officials in Ashland County, like Ashland County Board Chairman Pete Russo, he feels that there was no assurance that local governments would be supported as far as infrastructure. And more importantly, on the public health side of things, they cited issues where they feel that they were lied to or there were broken promises regarding incidents where there was a discovery of asbestos-like fibers, grunerite, in the rock at one of the sites within the proposed mine site. So there's concern there about whether they can establish trust again with any new developer and how they would go about doing that. And I think Iron County has said that, you know, the important thing there, at least with one county board member, Iron County board member Vic Wiemet, he's saying, let's get people in a room talking as early as possible about our concerns, about the things about this project that would make people adverse to it, and see if there's any way to deal with some of these impacts, like the grunerite. Is there a way to mitigate those risks? Is there a way to mitigate the wetlands without negatively harming the environment?
We're talking to WPR reporter Danielle Kading in Superior about the prospects for future iron mining in the northern part of the state. Dan, you just mentioned Vic Wiemet. Let's give a listen to him, Iron County board member.
The important thing is, from my perspective, is that the taxpayers and citizens of Iron County are treated with respect, that their ideas are honored, and that they're brought into, all of the stakeholders are brought into the process early on.
And that expands on what you were just saying there. Was there a sense among many in the region that last time around with GTAC that wasn't the case, that they weren't at the table?
Well, the last time around, and it's unclear as to whether history will repeat itself, there was criticism of GTAC for not reaching out to the Bad River Band early on as far as their plans or including them as much in that process. And Ashland County Board Chair Pete Russo asked LaPointe Iron Company officials in the meeting with Ashland County on Thursday, have you talked to the tribe? Have you reached out to them? And he said that they were told that they did try to connect with the tribe, but they weren't able to make contact. And so I think there is an awareness now of the cultural significance of that watershed in that area where it would be mined, and also just talking to everyone involved, whether it's the state, local, or tribal officials.
And let's talk a little more about opposition to mining efforts in the region. Here's Charlie Ortman, Ashland County Board Supervisor and a Mining Impact Committee member.
They come in first and declare the inevitability of it being mined so that you feel like you have to accept the best that you can get. Well, that's just a bunch of crap.
So, Danny, can you talk a little more about the heated opposition that's still out there?
Well, you know, people were frustrated with the way that Gogebic Taconite approached some of these concerns that they had. You know, right away when there was a public meeting at the very beginning of the process in which they were exploring mining that deposit, they had said that they were not going to go in and change any laws. And then later on in that process, we found Gogebic Taconite actually writing the law that was eventually passed and weakened environmental standards as it pertained to wetlands, and also changed the way in which local governments were compensated and how much say they had in the process. And I think that's a big concern for this area with any new development that might be proposed for that site.
Danny, I got to say, watching this story in northern Wisconsin from down here in the southern half of the state, it seemed like when GTAC left, that was it, the period. The iron mining story was done. Clearly, it is not. Has this been simmering? Is this still something people have been talking about up in those counties?
I think it's still on their minds, but honestly, quite a number of people that have been against the proposal to mine in the Pinocchio Hills are also turning their attention now to a 26,000 hog farm that's been proposed in Bayfield County. So there are a lot of land use issues that are kind of on either side of northwestern Wisconsin, and there's just not a lot of people up there, and many of them are involved in the same discussions, and so I think they're trying to keep track of all the important issues pertaining to water quality and land use that they can when they're able.
And as we wrap up, I mean, this is a tentative discussion at this point. Is there any kind of talk about if this happens, how soon it could happen, this idea of opening up the idea of an iron mine?
Like I said, Rob, I haven't been able to talk to LaPointe Iron Company officials directly. They haven't returned my request for comment. But according to county officials, they're saying that this would not be something that would happen soon. That given the glut of iron ore on the market right now and prices being down, that this would be something that would be 5-10 years out. And so basically they feel that these conversations are feeling them out and seeing what would be done in the future to possibly move a development forward there in the Pinoki Hills.
Danielle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks.
That's Danielle Kading, WPR reporter in Superior, joining us to talk about future iron mining possibilities in northern Wisconsin.
Last year, pictures of the Lake Superior ice caves dominated social media. Well, this week, it's the sunflower field at Pope Farm Conservancy in Middleton. In just a few moments, we'll be taking your calls at 800-642-1234. And we want to know, what is the hidden treasure in your part of the state? You know, the cool place that locals know about, but maybe the word hasn't gotten out to the rest of the state yet. If you're willing to share your secret, give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post over on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll take your calls in a few minutes. First, a rare dragonfly found in Door County may help restore the species in other parts of the Midwest. Researchers are gathering the larvae of the Heinz Emerald Dragonfly and will eventually release them in the Chicago area. Patty Murray reports.
County Highway Q is in Bailey's Harbor. It cuts through Heinz Emerald Dragonfly habitat, which includes marshes and streams.
Lots of them cross this road, and lots of them get killed on this road. You know, almost 2,000 are killed on this road every year.
Dan Solick is a biology professor at the University of South Dakota. For nearly 20 years, he spent summers in Door County collecting the dragonfly and its larvae.
Heinz was an investigator, a dragonfly expert.
There's a killer right there, right?
That is a totally killer, yeah. Big box traveling down the road pretty much and exceeding the speed limit to boot.
The Heinz Emerald is the only dragonfly on the endangered species list.
We thought it was extinct for several decades. No one could find the species.
Mike Grin is an ecologist with the Nature Conservancy. The group has about 5,000 acres of preserves in Door County and helps finance the Heinz researchers. He says the flies need healthy groundwater and find it on the peninsula.
They seem to utilize waters that have passed through either dolomite or limestone before it issues out in the springs.
The Heinz has it hard enough without having to worry about getting itself splattered on a windshield. It has big green eyes and either yellow or cream stripes on its body. It's an aquatic insect and spends the first 4 or 5 years of its life in wetlands or streams where females lay eggs. If one doesn't get eaten by a crayfish and actually makes it to adulthood, it only lives 4 to 7 weeks. That's why Solick hopes USD's captive rearing program will help the Heinz numbers.
Dragonflies lay 1,000 eggs. Maybe 1, maybe 10 of those actually ever live to become an adult. So what you do is you take those eggs and you put them in a controlled environment where mortality will be minimal, and suddenly you can generate hundreds of individuals that would have never survived otherwise.
The Heinz also lives in southwestern Wisconsin, the UP, Missouri, and near Chicago. This year, Solick's team will release larvae in wetlands there. He says that population is more genetically diverse than the one in Door County, but that the numbers are very low.
The Chicago population is really close to being at that critical threshold where it's just not going to be able to survive. And as it gets smaller, we're losing genetic diversity.
Solick says the Heinz Emerald is an indicator species for groundwater.
In the Chicago area, one of its biggest threats is its threat to its habitat, but not even direct threat, because many of those places are protected as nature preserves. But a nature preserve is not protected if the sources of water that come into it aren't protected.
While he's talking, one of Solick's research assistants, Patricia Dombrowski, spots a Heinz Emerald dragonfly and darts across Q.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you just find another one?
Yeah, she just found another one.
What happened to it?
It got hit by a car on just zooming by. just now?
It was pretty fresh, yeah.
If all that doesn't convince people that preserving the hinds is important, Solik says their favorite foods are mayflies and mosquitoes. Patty Murray, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Social media has been ablaze this week with pictures of a sprawling sunflower field here in Wisconsin. Pope Farm Conservancy has become the state's hottest attraction in the last week or so, with tons of people descending on the small Middleton Park to see the thousands of sunflowers in bloom there.
Kind of a similar story to what happened last year when photos of the Lake Superior ice caves took the world by storm and brought people from all over the state and beyond to northern Wisconsin.
And in both of those cases, these aren't new things by any means. Locals have known about the icy caves of Lake Superior, the sprawling fields of sunflowers at Pope Farm. But now there's social media, so these hidden treasures have become must-visit destinations for tourists and out-of-towners.
And so that got us thinking, what is your town's hidden treasure? Is there a natural place near you that's just begging to be discovered by the rest of the state? Do you think it could be the next ice caves or sunflower field? And if so, do you actually want the secret to get out? Well, we'd love to hear it. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll get your calls in just a few moments. First, one of the bearers of the secret of the sunflower is with us now, our producer, Chris Molina. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Rob. Good to be here.
So you knew about this. You were into the sunflowers at Pope Farm way before it was cool.
It's true. I actually grew up about 5 minutes from the Pope Farm Conservancy, so I've been seeing the sunflowers for years and years and years, and there were a couple of years where I didn't go, and I went again last year, and I remember thinking, huh, there are a lot more people here now. But then this year, things just blew up.
There are traffic cops and stuff now, right?
Yeah. So I remember going to this, you know, little quaint park where, you know, maybe you'd bump into a couple of other people on the trail. And now there are traffic cops, there are porta potties, there are overflow parking lots, you know, in the side fields. It's crazy to me just to see this little park near my home explode into something, you know, much bigger.
Well, once you got porta potties, you know, you hit the big time.
You've hit the big time. That's
all right.
True.
Well, let's take a caller now. We've got Carol on the line at 800-642-1234. Carol joins us from Rice Lake. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi, what is your hidden secret?
Our hidden secret is the Barron County Historical Society's Pioneer Village Museum, which is located between Cameron and Barron in Barron County. And it is just a wonderful historical museum with an entire village of historical buildings and many exhibit buildings that exhibit the history of Barron County as well as the history of the whole state. And just recently we've been adding some demonstration gardens by the Barron County Master Gardener volunteers, which include a rain garden of native prairie plants from the area, and we always have a vegetable garden that is reminiscent of something in history. So, for example, this year we have a World War II victory garden in our museum.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's one I had not been to, the Pioneer Museum in Barron County. Yeah, lots of little museums sprinkled around the state that if you really get out there and look, there's some fantastic finds.
Definitely, and we're taking your calls, your hidden treasures of Wisconsin, the ones you know about, maybe want to share with the world, or maybe you'd rather keep to yourself, I don't know. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page, prompted by the sunflowers there in at Pope Farm in Middleton.
You know, another place that kind of comes to mind, at least for me, is the Spring Green Preserve, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago here on the show.
Did you go?
I haven't been.
I want to go too.
It's been on my list ever since we talked about it on the show. It's this little slice of desert almost in southern Wisconsin, and you know, desert-like plants, desert-like animals. You know, not necessarily a place you'd expect to see in Wisconsin. And I know that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel also did a piece on this at some point. So I think you know, traffic to this place has increased significantly. So yeah, definitely a hidden gem, but you know, once word gets out, it sort of changes things.
For me, I was thinking about this, and Blue Mountain State Park, a lot of people know about Blue Mountains, but have you guys, for instance, been up on the towers there?
I have been a long, long time ago.
The towers are spectacular. I went for the first time in years when it was sunset, and it was beautiful. It was just spectacular. I was surprised there were not more people there enjoying the sunset.
Yeah, I know. It's a great state park. I think it sort of gets overshadowed by not Devil's Lake, but Governor Dodge State Park. But yeah, both observation towers, and I go back and forth because there was always the one that I thought, this is the view, this is the great tower. The other one can't stack up, and then I go back another time, and I go on that tower. I'm like, no, this one is way better, so I feel conflicted.
There are two towers.
A note from Galen Druk. He tried to find the desert in that Spring Green Preserve, asked the general store. They said everybody had been asking about it, but they didn't know what it was, so they ended up not finding it, driving around. His friends thought he was crazy for trying to find a desert. I think, they knew. They knew. They're trying to keep the secret, people. I see you go back. Don't take no for an answer.
No porta potties, no overflow parking. That's the problem right there.
One of our comments from Facebook, when we asked, what's your favorite hidden treasure in Wisconsin, somebody said, I have one, but I'm not going to share it with you because I don't want it to get all crowded and touristy. Well, I have one that can accommodate the tourists that, is my show it to people from out of town, Olbrich Gardens. In Madison, botanical gardens outside, conservatory inside. That's a big hit for me. Really, really very striking. You can get into a hot, humid weather in the middle of January, which
is a
nice change of pace.
Not a hidden treasure per se.
Not all that
but
hidden, to be
definitely
fair.
A treasure, yeah.
One other that comes to mind that I went to a little bit earlier this year, there's a state natural area called, I think it's Pewitt's Nest, if I'm remembering it correctly, and it's this little park near Baraboo that, it sort of gets overshadowed by Devil's Lake, but, it's got like a waterfall, it's got like some trails that you can go and hike on. I want to say I saw an article about this somewhere.
Not Parfrees Glen.
It's kind of in that same general geographic area, but also a really, really, really cool place. And I think word is kind of out on that one, because when I was there, there were a ton of people swimming and hanging out and doing a little bit of cliff jumping, which I'm not sure you're supposed to do, but a really cool state natural area.
And also in that area, I finally went to the Crane Foundation for the first time. Again, not exactly hidden, but I'd managed to not go there for 20 plus years of living in Wisconsin. So that was a big hit with me and the kids.
Right. So lots of stuff in the area, hidden or not. So I guess you have to beat the bushes a little to get the locals to tell you sometimes where some of this stuff is. But it's worth it.
Well, and who knows what the next thing will be, too. I mean, we'll open up Facebook in 3 months from now, and who knows what it's going to be. And I'm sure we'll be talking about this again.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for coming on, talking sunflowers, and good to hear about the Pioneer Museum as well. If you've got one, why don't you post your favorite hidden treasure of your area over on the Central Time Facebook page?